the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndal, and I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. You know, there's an institution out there that many of us don't think about very often, but a lot of people are involved in it. It's one of the oldest institutions in the United States, and I'm talking about the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts in the United States is about 104 years old, but there's also an understanding of the Catholic Boy Scouts group. And today I'm privileged to have with me Scott Harvey, who is the chairman of the Grand Rapids Catholic Committee of the Boy Scouts. Scott, thank you for being here.
You're very welcome. Pleased to be here today.
Wonderful to have you here. You know, this is something that most people don't understand or really don't take time to think about is the Boy Scouts of America, particularly the Catholic chapter that you're involved in. Tell us a little bit of your background and how you got involved in this, Scott.
Well, as a young boy, I was a scout and was growing up. Our family was moving from city to city in the United States, and the one thing that I had in common was scouting. I could go from Birmingham, Alabama to Chicago, Illinois, and then end up in Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah.
I could always end up in a Boy Scout troop, and it helped form my character and my leadership abilities.
Yeah. Now, what age did you join Scouts again?
I joined when I was 8.
8 years old.
So I tell people I've been in scouting since 1957.
Okay. Would you join the Cub Scouts first?
Cub Scouts first,
okay.
And then the Boy Scout program, and I
okay.
went.
How long is normally Cub Scouts for?
Cub Scouts goes up to age 11.
Okay.
And then you become a Boy Scout from age 11 up to 18, and then there's also Ventures, which is a program under scouting that runs from 14 to age 20.
Okay. So you're involved in scouting as you're starting out as a Cub Scout, then you go into the Boy Scouts. But you must have had a real peak of interest. Were you an Eagle Scout?
I am an Eagle Scout.
Okay. Give us an explanation, just so people who are listening can have an understanding. What does it mean and what does it take to attain Eagle Scout status?
Okay, an Eagle Scout is the highest rank you can get in scouting, and then there's other awards on top of that you can earn. But you start out when you're 11, you come into scouting, you're first a scout, then you become a tenderfoot scout, then you become a second class, first class, star, and life, and then you're Eagle Scout. And all along the way, there's certain requirements that you have to do to advance in each one of those ranks.
All right. So it's really it's a disciplined achievement.
It is a disciplined achievement, and an Eagle Scout will eventually have to have earned all those other ranks plus 21 merit badges. And of those 21 merit badges, there's some that are required.
Yeah.
Camping and the citizenship series and cooking. Those are things, those are skills that you'll have for your whole life or leadership positions.
Exactly. You know, some of our ex-presidents have been Eagle Scouts, correct?
Gerald R. Ford is the only president.
He's the only one?
That became an Eagle Scout. And the way I look at him, he served the nation like a good Eagle Scout when they called upon him to step into a very troubled time.
Yeah, wasn't it a wonderful thing to see that? He was really prepared.
Yeah.
As the Boy Scouts say, that's preparedness is important for them.
That's correct.
So you attain Eagle Scout at what age?
Well, you can do it as
right.
probably a 14 is probably as early as you can.
Okay.
Some there may be a 13-year-old, and you have to have completed all the requirements before your 18th birthday to be able to earn that program. So I was when I received my Eagle Scout, I was 14. Some young men.
You were aggressive.
I was aggressive.
Good for you. You were prepared.
Yeah.
So obviously, you kept the intensity up for the Boy Scouts.
Oh, absolutely. It really builds the character in a person, and if you live what Scouts taught you throughout your whole life.
Okay.
That's good outside of your faith beliefs.
Okay. Well, now let me ask you this question, Scott. Were you always involved in the Catholic Boy Scouts?
No. Actually, it's kind of a misnomer to say there's a Catholic Boy Scout group.
Okay.
Because we're all Boy Scouts.
Okay.
But we represent Catholics in scouting, and there's a national organization called the National Catholic Committee on Scouting, and that National Catholic Committee works hand in hand with the Boy Scouts of America. So a modern troop will have if it's sponsored like ours in Belmont, Troop 283 is sponsored by the Knights of Columbus.
Okay.
But many of the scouts that are in the troop will not be Catholic.
Okay.
There's no discrimination to who can be in a troop.
Okay.
But the charter says, you know, we're chartering them, and then the Knights of Columbus can, in fact, influence how the programming goes.
Okay. That makes sense. So you're involved. Now, once you turned 18, you no longer can be in a troop. Is that as a
today's rules, once you turn 18, you can either go into what they call the ventures.
Okay.
Or you can take an adult leadership.
Explain what that venture is first.
Okay, venture groups was created, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. Venture Scouts have a different, or not really Venture Scouts, but they're Boy Scouts of America.
Okay.
And the program's called Ventures. They can be co-ed, they can be all girl, they can be all boy. And they have a whole different way of learning leadership. It's truly, in their case, youth and young person-led programming. They'll have a president of their group. They'll decide everything they'll do. They'll just have somebody, an adult, that is kind of coaching them.
Okay. Would there be some structure that's already put together for that?
Well, there's a lot of guidelines that they have, but they can go off and they can be in camping, or they can go off and they can be in, like when we just were in California for the National Catholic Conference meeting. The venture crew in Orange County, California, is the diocesan. They have a diocesan venture crew.
Okay.
And those scouts they call themselves the Bishop's Ventures. And they do what is needed for the diocese.
Now, they wouldn't all be Eagle Scouts.
No, if you're in Ventures,
they
have a different award, and it's not an Eagle Scout.
Okay.
Now, you could be an Eagle Scout and move into
Venture.
Venture program.
Okay. But not necessarily everybody who's in Venture would be an Eagle Scout.
No, and what they're finding out, that the young people in Ventures, they're not really as motivated to get an award like that.
Okay.
They're motivated for the learning disciplines. It's almost like the junior achievement. They, you know, they set up a program and then they work that program.
Okay. Wonderful. So now I'm looking here and I'm understanding there's something called the Baraga Missionary Trails Award.
Correct.
You know, tell us a little bit about that and what that is.
Okay. The genesis of the Bishop Baraga Missionary Trails Award is that I'm also involved at the international level, the International Catholic Conference of Scouting, and that's based in Rome. And one of the people that I came across in my many travels is Father Alexander Koren from Slovenia. Hmm. And we were in Rome, had a meeting, and he found out that I was from Michigan, and he started to talk about a Bishop Baraga and whether I knew anything about Bishop Baraga. And of course, being in Michigan, being in the Grand Rapids area, you've heard about Baraga. You know there's a Baraga, Michigan, and you know that he's buried in Marquette, but did not know the rich history that he brought to the area. So Father Sandy has come to the United States, and we've taken the pilgrimage all the way from Grand Rapids up to Baraga and over to Marquette and into Sault Ste. Marie.
Why don't you share us the history of Bishop Baraga?
Well, Bishop Baraga, when he got to Grand Rapids, he came on foot with his snowshoes, and he was, and this is the history according to Scott Harvey, but I've read a lot about him in the early writings. But he came on the west side of the Grand River, at that time, 1833, that was known as Indian Territory. And the Grand River was the northernmost boundary of the United States. So if you were where we are now, we were in the United States, and I live up in Rockford, and if it was 1833, I'd be in the Indian
Territory. You'd be on the other side, wouldn't you?
That's right. And so he came, and he was to be a missionary for the Native Americans that were here. And he did that. He made many attempts to try to convince them that he was there to help and teach the gospel. And eventually they warmed up to him. He was able to become their friend. He helped them by translating their language into English and Slovenian so that they could follow the Mass.
Right.
And when it was clear to him that there was going to be issues with the United States taking over the rest of Michigan. He knew that the previous Americans, Native Americans, had not been treated very well. He went to his bishop and said, you know, this is going to happen here. The bishop said, well, we're going to move you farther north. And that's how he got up into the Upper Peninsula. And he remained up there. And then when the Europeans came, found all the minerals and the riches up in the UP,
yeah.
It became a diocese. He became the first diocesan
bishop up there. Bishop,
yeah. And he was, you know, he literally did go from place to place on snowshoes or,
oh, I'm sure.
Or in birch bark canoes. And
and he was in the Upper Peninsula, correct?
He left here and went to the Upper Peninsula, yeah. To where Barg is now,
exactly.
The city. And then Sault Ste. Marie was the first, where the first cathedral was. And then later on, they moved that to Marquette.
Wow, that's amazing.
And there's still a chapel in the Petoskey area, St. Francis Salinas.
Oh, yes.
That he actually was, as bishop, came there and blessed that particular chapel. So it's a missionary chapel, and there's a little Native American graveyard there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great history of that.
So his steps towards sainthood had started, and now he is Venerable Bishop Barga. And so as that was progressing, we had the 100th anniversary of Boy Scouts,
yes.
In America. The diocese decided, the committee decided we would put together an award for the Bishop Barga Missionary Trails Award. And that award, anybody can earn that. They don't have to be a scout. They can be any age, any person. But it's a award that you have to know about the history of Bishop Barga. You have to draw a map of where, or show on a map,
right.
Where he had his missions. One of the other requirements is that you have to visit a shrine, and at that shrine, pray the Stations of the Cross. So in Grand Rapids, we have a shrine at St. Francis Xavier.
Exactly.
Our Lady of Guadalupe is there, and Our Lady of Lavang is a shrine as well.
Oh, yes.
But then if you take and you go up to the Upper Peninsula, and if you stop at the Cross in the Woods, that's nice
shrine. Yes.
And that's right on the path that he would have taken,
okay.
To get up.
Bishop Barga would have taken that one.
Bishop Barga would have taken.
Okay.
So those are the requirements, and they're on the website, the Grand Rapids Catholic Committee on Scouting's website.
Wonderful. Now, you're talking about the 100th anniversary coming up for the scout.
The Catholic 100th anniversary of scouting in the Catholic Church is a special program that is known as Keep the Lamp Burning.
Mm-hmm.
And with my activities at the national level and became the international chairman for the National Scouts.
How did that happen? Someone just didn't call you on the phone.
You start going to meetings, and then you miss a meeting, and they appoint you to something.
Never miss a meeting.
No, they saw that I had some interest. My wife and I both had traveled with the family to Italy many times. So mm-hmm. when there was an opening in a meeting in Italy, I attended one in Korea, South Korea. And over time, they saw that there was a need for an individual to run a program for that 100th anniversary. And they asked me if I'd chair that. And so now I have partners all over the world that we work with. Most of the time it's through email. Some of the time it's through Skype. And maybe once or twice in a year we'll see each other.
Yeah.
But the program will run from – it started officially in January of 2013, and it'll conclude at the World Jamboree in Japan, World Scout Jamboree in Japan in 2015.
You know, Scott, I think myself included, until I had met you the first time, I think there's a little naivete. We say Boy Scouts of America. Many people just assume the Boy Scouts are only in the United States.
And I get that a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of a revelation to people. Are they all over the world?
180 countries have some kind of scouting program.
Is that right?
The country that has the most scouts is Indonesia.
My goodness.
And Indonesia has the most scouts because it is a required subject in their school system.
Really?
So if you're in school in Indonesia, and the same is true in Thailand, whether it's a Catholic school or a public school, you have to be a scout, and you have to do some of those programs in your grade school education.
Okay. Japan has scouts.
Japan has lots of scouts, and they have the Catholic Committee there that's going to be sponsoring the finishing portion of Keep the Lamp Burning. Now, those countries don't have a lot of Catholics per capita.
Right.
But the Catholics that are there are strong.
Would China have Boy Scouts?
China has a program that's similar, but none of those – the communist countries ever had Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
They called them something else.
Okay. Now, for a country like Japan, which isn't Catholic, obviously, their creed or motto must be different or whatever.
There's a World Organization of Scouting.
Okay.
And Lord Baden-Powell started scouting in England in 1907.
Okay.
And the Scout Promise and the Scout Law are almost identical in all of those programs.
Okay.
Now, in a Muslim country, instead of saying God, duty to God, they'll say duty to Allah.
Okay.
If they're a Muslim.
Okay.
And in my research, found out that if you happen to be a Christian in one of those countries and you're a scout, then you can say duty to God in my country, and you're not going
to
be.
But I wonder if you would be doing that being afraid of repercussions on that.
Well, you may. I don't. I'm not there.
Yeah, right.
But what I was looking at today on the Vatican website is there are places in Indonesia that have significant Catholic population.
Okay.
And of course, then there's places in Indonesia that have 1 or 2% Catholic.
Yeah, exactly.
And my good friend Father Sammy George from Pakistan, Christians are about 5% in Pakistan. They have scouting in Pakistan, and I've communicated with the Muslim scouts in Pakistan.
Okay.
And they say that there would not be any problem. Now, I believe that people that are not Muslim in some countries of the world are under siege all the time.
Exactly.
So, it would take a brave person to go over there and investigate.
It would. It would. But how many countries have you been into for scouting?
Probably a dozen, maybe 14.
Yeah.
But then again, they're mostly European and mostly Catholic.
Right.
But Kenya and Uganda are places that I've been that today are surrounded by strife and violence.
Exactly. It'd be a little dangerous to be there right now. Now, you're going to be going to Rome, I understand.
I'm going to Rome for the African conference for 2 days, 3 days in August. And then there's going to be a world conference up by Pisa.
Now, you said the African conference.
Each of the International Catholic Conference on Scouting's regions have leadership groups.
Okay.
The African leadership will be meeting in Rome because it turns out to be a lot less expensive for some people to come from Africa to Rome than it would be to go from any place in Africa to another place in Africa.
Exactly.
They just aren't good connections. And the countries are somewhat corrupt, and it's difficult to do. So they hold that up in Vatican, at the Vatican buildings in Rome.
How wonderful.
So they'll be able to come visit, and they'll plan out their next 3 years at that meeting.
Okay. So you'll be strategizing with other people.
I'll be working with them, and there's a program that we are really hoping that they can get their arms around. It was developed in South Africa by the South African Scouting Program.
Okay.
And it's called Food for Life. And it's similar to a Boy Scouting program that would take the young people through different steps.
Okay.
And the younger ones can earn a certain badge. It's a circular badge, and it has three parts. They learn how to plant a garden, and it may be in a very small area.
Sure.
And then they learn how to do organic gardening and use things, and they learn to quit pollution and those kind of – and reuse certain things for fertilizers and grow their garden. The next phase, they get a little older, then they can make a bigger garden. And then the last phase, they're actually teaching them how to become entrepreneurs, and they can go ahead and possibly sell, trade, barter, or even give to the poor, some of the things that they're growing in their gardens.
That's wonderful. So you're really helping people mature as individuals and really to be self-sufficient.
And self-sufficient in training them. And that's one of the programs that the Grand Rapids Catholic Committee has helped. We've partnered with the Kampala, Uganda Archdiocese, and they had given some land on Lake Victoria to one of their youth minister leaders that was involved in scouting.
Okay.
His dream was to turn that piece of land into a scout camp because the previous camp during the revolution had been taken over and the government had seized it and destroyed what was there. Mm-hmm. And so now there was just this piece of land sitting, and this would have been in 2009, this piece of land sitting on Lake Victoria. And his dream was to turn that into what he was going to call Chiro Camp.
That's in Uganda.
It's in Uganda. And so the Grand Rapids Catholic Committee decided to try to help him with his dream and solicit some funds from the Knights of Columbus and different groups and even some of the scouts, local scouts that had their Eagle Scout projects. One young man, he donated all of his gift money from when he became an Eagle Scout for Chiro Camp to build a fish pond.
Oh, wonderful.
Dig the fish pond, grow the fish, sell the fish, and serve the fish to the orphans that come from Kampala out to the camp. Many, many AIDS orphans there in that part of the Africa. And so they get a good meal that they don't normally get, the nutritious meals. And then since then, they did dig the pond. The donations came. There was one big donor that helped from St. Louis, Missouri. So it's, and then there's a group of Italians that helped them build a building that they have their chapel in now, and then they spread that out to have a pig farm. So they have a couple pigs and little pigs running around. So, so they're going to have ham and pork and eventually.
Of course.
They've got bananas growing, mangoes growing. So it's turning into a model for this Food for Life program. So now we've got a scout camp up and running in Uganda that will help feed them, and they'll learn how to do those things. And the programming is coming out of South Africa. So hopefully we can then take that program and get each of these individual countries and Catholic committees in Africa to understand, let's work together instead of try to work separately. Because they struggle. I mean, when they're making $50 a month on average as their salary, it's a struggle over there to just survive.
Just day-to-day struggle.
Day-to-day struggle.
Just having enough food to eat.
And so we want to see them maybe incorporate some of these programs into their schooling and working with what they call the World Organization of Scout Movement's African Regional Headquarters. And that's in Kenya. That's in Nairobi. We visited that this past February.
Okay.
And that's where we got this information about
Are you encouraged by what you see, Scott?
I'm very encouraged. My only issue is it takes so long to do things. You know, they want an instant fix. We're Americans. We want to give them an
instant fix. And there is no instant fix.
But to go back from 2009 and then in 2014, see an actual functioning farm, fish ponds, scout camp, and they invited the villagers when I was there to come and have the fish fry, the first fish fry that they had there.
Oh my gosh.
And they had 300 people come, and the scouts actually went into the fish pond. They didn't, at that time they didn't have fish hooks and to catch them. They just used nets, and they moved from one end of the pond to the other, and they harvested some of the fish.
Okay.
They're active on Facebook, the Chiro Camp, if people are interested in that.
Spell that for us.
Chiro. Okay. And it's just an African way of taking the word Chiro from Greek, Christ.
Right.
And he just put it all together as one, so it didn't – he said that now it really doesn't look too Catholic. It's just Chiro Camp.
Of course. Well, we'll tell you any way we can get it.
Yeah, that's right.
That is great.
And they have all scouts come. I mean, they don't have to be Catholics or Christians. They'll have Muslim scouts. I mean, the group actually, when we did a rosary bicycle trek for peace, the Messengers of Peace program, we rode from the scout camp back to Our Lady Queen of Peace shrine back in Kampala, and the guy that was our kind of security guide on a motorcycle, his full-time employment as a policeman, and his name happens to be Muhammad. So I got to know Muhammad really good.
Of course.
And Muhammad calls every now and then, and it's like, hello, this is Muhammad. Oh, yeah, I remember it. But Muhammad, because of his relationship with Boy Scouts of America and the Methodist Church, is now a Methodist.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, so, praise be to God.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's an interesting world, and it's when you get to that micro level and you get to see those young people.
How long were you there?
Was there 14 days. This
14
trip.
Days. Yeah. It probably gives you a real sense of how lucky we are in this country.
How very fortunate and blessed we are.
Yeah.
You know, when I first started traveling to Italy, I thought the same thing. But then once you get into an African country and you have these vivid memories of we had the mass on Sunday and the Papal Nuncio was there with the scouts. He came to celebrate the mass. And it was the theme was blessed are the peacekeepers.
Yeah.
And you know, 15 years ago the revolution was going on, and the stories they tell about how the family members were rounded up and killed. And,
yes.
And then you see the little
systematically executed.
Oh yeah. And the young girl that after the Monday, I just took kind of a walk around the little village, and if they have corrugated roofs on their mud huts, they're living pretty well. So she's running behind. I hear this person running up behind me, and she's wearing one of the rosaries that the local rosary makers here had given us to take that were gifts that they got when they came to the mass. She's wearing one, and she recognized me. Of course, I looked a little different than everybody else in the village. And she just said, hi, how are you? And she was with a friend, and maybe it was her sister. And I said, oh, I'm great. How are you? And she said, I'm fine. She said, she's not doing well. She has the typhoid. And that was where I thought, you know, we're not in America anymore.
No.
And so she, you know, and then the two of them walked off to where they lived, And then another man was. I walked by and he said, "This is my house." And he was really proud of having these mud brick walls and one room, and community facilities for bathrooms. When I say that, they're outhouses,
of course, and crude ones at that.
Crude ones and no running water. I mean,
right.
And when you get into the city and into the what's really the slums. There, you don't see any evidence of the outhouse, and they're walking down to get their water. Same thing at Chiro Camp. The villagers come down to Lake Victoria, and they get their water and take it back and boil it.
You know, not only should every scout see that, but every person in the United States should see that.
I'd love to transport everybody. And I was fortunate enough on my first trip over to take my eldest grandson. Who was working. He should be completing his Eagle Scout project in the next month.
For him.
And you talk about a memory with a grandson and a grandfather, but a trip of a lifetime. I don't know whether he grasped everything that was going on, but he fit right in. I mean, there's the story of the Boy Scouts or the Scouts.
Yeah.
You go over there and you jump in the back of a pickup truck with other Scouts and you're a Scout. And by the time you get to the camp, you're playing the drums that they're going to be using in their ceremonies.
Is your grandson completing here in the West Michigan area?
Well, they recently moved to North Carolina, so he took that scouting with him as I did.
Of course.
And he got into a troop there, and he immediately had friends.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So,
you know, I'm seeing here, too, that something about did Pope Francis have a private audience with the Catholic leaders?
Yes, the first time since Lord Baden-Powell came to the Vatican and asked for scouting to be brought into the Catholic Church and allowed. This last January, we have a president and a chairman and the newest world chaplain were given a private audience with Pope Francis, where they went into his offices, the three of them, and the four of them just had a nice long discussion about scouting.
How wonderful.
And Pope Francis's words to them was, at the time, no one will ever be able to steal your hope. So keep your hope alive.
Exactly.
And he will be, when we go to this meeting in Italy, on the 10th of August, 30,000 Catholic scouts from around Italy will be converging in the Pisa area at a national park.
Yep.
The Holy Father will be saying the Mass to those 30,000 Catholic Scouts on that Sunday. So as our meetings conclude, we'll be part of that celebration.
Would Pope Francis have Scouts in his homeland?
Oh, the Archbishop that replaced him, became Archbishop of Buenos Aires, was the Argentine chaplain for scouting as a bishop.
Wow.
So he moved up and he took Pope Francis's place, was promoted by Pope Francis, so he has a close tie to scouting.
Yeah,
so
he would. Is there a large number of scouts in Argentina?
You know? Large number of scouts throughout South America.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. You know, it's always a kind of a touchy subject, too, because I know I was just going to touch on in the Girl Scouts and all that, and they have their own organization. Obviously, they have the Bluebird, and then they go.
Well, no, that's a different group, but they have Brownies.
Brownies, okay.
And there's a Daisy Scouts. I think there's something. I don't know their formation. I do know when my girls were in there, they were Brownies, and then they were Girl Scouts.
Girl Scouts, okay. You know, we've had some issues in scouting, and I know it's always a sensitive issue because the church is very keen about it, too, and really on top of it. But, you know, we've had some problems with homosexuality, the understanding of who can be in the Scouts and who can't be in the Scouts, and what it means for the future of the Scouts. So, you know, just to alleviate any trepidation by people listening, and again, I want to remind, this is Deacon Jim Thorndel with Holy Family Radio. I'm privileged to have here Scott Harvey with me, who's the chairman of the Grand Rapids Catholic Committee of the Boy Scouts, and we're having a great conversation about this old institution, almost 104 years old, and they are going to be celebrating their 100th anniversary as Catholic Scouts this year. So I'm with Scott Harvey, so we're continuing our conversation. Scott, let's talk a little bit about what type of how the Scouts had to deal with this, particularly the Catholic Scouts, in an area today that we're trying to be sensitive to other people, other human beings. But how do we do that?
Well, I don't know how you do that. I know that the programming of scouting has nothing to do with a sexual orientation.
Right.
You look at an 8-year-old and you watch them doing their Pinewood Derby, and then you look at an 11-year-old and they're learning how to make fire without matches, and they'll carry those skills throughout their lifetime. It's not really an issue other than a scout is asked to be morally straight.
Right.
A scout is asked to be reverent.
Right.
And all the way through the programming, you don't have that discussion.
Exactly.
It's not something that comes, you know, it's not a natural thing to be talking about in the scouting
program. Exactly.
There's no program, there's no merit badge for the things that the church teaches.
Exactly.
So we have programming in the Catholic scouting. They can earn their religious emblems, and there's four different religious emblems, age appropriate, that they can earn. They can learn about when they're little, what goes on in the church, basically what's happening up to the time that they take First Communion.
Right.
And then when they get into the older ages for the 14 to 20-year-olds, they're going to talk about the sacraments and their vocation and marriage, or are they going to go into a priestly vocation.
Okay. Or live single.
Or live single, chaste single.
Right.
You know, that's the program. That's the Catholic piece that's so important, in my opinion, to be in the Boy Scouts of America, because you're going to have the opportunity to set aside some of those issues. Well, my opinion is that somebody decided a year or so ago to try to influence the Boy Scouts of America to change their membership policy, because before April of last year, you could not be a Boy Scout and be a known homosexual.
Okay.
Your orientation, if you gave me your leader and said, I believe I'm homosexual, then you were asked to leave scouting.
Okay.
Probably didn't happen. You know, there weren't too many of them, young people coming up, even, you know, how young are you when you have those ideas of orientation?
Exactly.
But there were a few cases over the years where people were asked to leave scouting because they had turned 18, 20 years old, and they wanted to still be leaders. And there was a Supreme Court case that said Boy Scouts of America can exclude certain people from being in their organization if they don't fit their moral code. So that ruling took place probably 10, 12 years ago. Along comes a new leadership that says, hey, we're going to do away with that. The military's done away with the don't ask, don't tell. So now we're involved and we're going to be opening up the leadership positions as well as the youth positions in the Boy Scouts of America, where orientation will not be an issue. So a homosexual, at that point, they were pushing a homosexual could come in and be a leader. Well, there was an awful lot of pushback nationwide. I was at the meetings in St. Louis when the National Catholic Committee on Scouting had their say. Mm-hmm. And their say came down to, we will not accept a leadership position for homosexuals. So the adults, that's not something we see that we want, that we're comfortable with. It just wouldn't look right, be right, even though there may not be any issues.
Right.
But when it came to the youth, the position was, if we follow the tenets of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, then we're going to look at that and say, you know, just because there's an orientation doesn't automatically make them...
Or exclude you.
Exclude you, and it doesn't make them practicing
right
what their orientation is. And the way I look at it is, if you have children who believe they have a homosexual orientation in a CCD program, the church, the parish is not going to ask them to leave that program.
No, we do not. Exactly.
So it's a touchy issue. The leadership has to deal with it, and it's going to be difficult in some cases.
Yeah.
But
I think the biggest fear would have been, and still could be, is that you could have a practicing homosexual in a leadership position, either in the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, right, which is happening now, in the Boy Scouts, and that would lead to much scandal for the church if you're a Catholic Boy Scout.
And I don't believe that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops would allow a charter organization to have that kind of leadership in it. And so that would set up probably similar to what the Girl Scouts are having right mm-hmm. now. If it's a Catholic-sponsored Girl Scout program, the bishops are asked to have a memorandum of understanding with the Girl Scouts as to what can take place.
Yeah.
I know that it would be very difficult for the Knights of Columbus to be sponsoring, asked to sponsor a program where, you know, you could have the homosexual marriage issue there.
Exactly.
And the church has its own issues with those problems.
That's right.
And it would
fly in the very face of what they're about.
So I don't see my involvement continuing if that were the case.
Yeah.
And many of my peers in the National Catholic Committee had said the same thing, and we'll say the same thing to you.
Well, you know, it's the agenda will continue to be pushed,
and unfortunately, I think that could be as the new president of the Boy Scouts of America just made a speech last Friday, former Defense Secretary Bill Gates, and he said that he was not involved with the Scouts when the issue came out. At the level he is now, but he was for more leniency in the practices. Mm. But he came out strongly and said he realizes that that would drive a stake right through the middle of the heart of Boy Scouts of America.
Yeah.
And 50% of the people are on one side, 50% are on the other side.
Yeah.
So in his 2-year tenure that he has, he said he will not bring that issue back up.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable with that answer, but you know, my answer would have been the other way.
Yeah.
We went too far. We should have just let that issue sit there. And if somebody came up and said, I have this problem, then we'd have to deal with that.
Yeah, on an individual basis.
On an individual basis.
Because
many of the priests that are involved with Catholic Scouting, and they've been there for some of them for as many as 60 years, they're going to tell you, you know, there were homosexuals in scouting all along.
Yeah, exactly. They always have been.
In every part of society.
Yeah.
You know, in my career was with the telephone company.
Yeah.
And the telephone company served everybody.
Of course.
So, you know, there's no discrimination there. And you work side by side with whoever you were?
You know, Scott, it's just, it's a perception now in society that it's becoming more avant-garde. And so we've tried to make it acceptable. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that we've had a different way of looking at it today. Again, the church is very sensitive to it, is that if you have homosexual inclinations, you're not to practice them.
Right.
No more than a non-married heterosexual is to practice any right. type of sexual activity outside of marriage.
Right, or a married person to have
exactly.
adultery. I mean, yeah. you know, that is a sin that's taught by the Catholic Church.
That's right.
And so if we understand it that way, then it shouldn't even be an issue.
That's right. So, you know, this conversation we're having is really interesting because I was a Boy Scout at one time. I never got to Eagle Scout, I must say. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the merits and the value of scouting. First of all, I want to take it to your personal level.
Okay.
What are some of the best memories you have of it and the value you found in it?
Well, I will share what I heard Bill Gates talk about.
Okay.
I was not a straight A student. I was probably in the lower half of my uh-huh. class. Well, I know I was in the lower half of my class. I was interested in learning. I was taking college prep courses.
Right.
But my scouting had goals. And I knew what those goals were, and I knew how I was going to get to each step. And that Eagle Scout looked really important to me.
Yeah.
And then after Eagle Scout, you become a leader in your troop. And you do things for young people. And I enlisted in the Marine Corps at 17 while I was still in high school. And the day I graduated, the next Monday, I was in boot camp. I had focused on becoming a military person.
Yeah.
And using scouting, it helped me once I got in boot camp, once I got in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It was probably a great value. Oh, wasn't it?
And then in life, you know, becoming a leader in business and all of those. So scouting, and the wonderful thing about it is there's merit badges that you can earn, and you learn about many, many subjects.
Yeah.
100 plus 150. I don't know how many merit badges there are. But if you're interested in aviation, you can learn about flying. If you're interested in, back then it was soil and water conservation, mm-hmm. now it's the environment,
right.
you can learn about that. But you do have to take the required ones. And once you learn the Scout Oath and Promise and Law, and you lived it from 8, 9, 10 years old up till the time you're an adult, then you continue to live.
Can you still remember, yeah. can you repeat? Can you
Scout
repeat,
law. Yeah,
the Scout law.
Yeah, Scout law. Scouts trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. So you think about those things. What do those mean to you?
Yeah.
And if you go to most scouts that were in at any time my age, they'll be able to rattle that off.
Same thing.
Yeah. Because you say it and you believe it.
Yeah.
As long as you believe it.
And you live it.
And you live it. And so scouting, and again, I moved from city to city to city,
yeah.
and I was able, you plop yourself down in a scout troop, they're in patrols, they have a leader, you have the scout oath, you have the scout promise, and you're there in a hard time of your life when you're 11 years old and you're being uprooted and you're moving
yeah. leaving your buddy
70, and... yeah, 700 miles away, and then you move again.
Yeah.
Like I said, like me.
Were your parents army brat or
no,
something?
No, my dad was his degree was in engineering.
Okay.
We had moved to Alabama from New York.
Okay.
1962. Oh. And in 1962, you know, moving from New York to Alabama, my parents knew nothing of prejudice.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't an issue. Birmingham, Alabama, in 1962,
was
ground zero yeah. for the civil rights movement.
Yes. Selma and all that.
Selma. And I recall, because my dad was a very frugal man, it took him a while to change his license plate from New York to Alabama license plate, because he would have to pay the taxes to do that. And we were coming back from a family vacation. We got outside of Huntsville. I had a brother, two sisters, my mom and dad in the station wagon, and it was 2 in the morning, and we were pulled over by the Ku Klux Klan.
Uh-oh.
And he I really think, because the Freedom Riders were taking place at that point, mm-hmm. I really think they thought he was doing something coming from New York into Alabama.
Yes.
It was not something they wanted to deal with. And he pleaded. I was laying on the floor in the back seat. I was probably 11, and hoping we weren't going to get drug out of that car.
Yeah.
And my dad did a good job of explaining he had a new job and why the license plates still had New York on them. So then after that incident, a couple years later, all that strife was still continuing, and that was too much for my dad to be able to keep, you know, the family in that kind of an environment.
Exactly.
Even though we were in a secluded part of Alabama.
Yeah, it still doesn't matter.
Our house overlooked Birmingham. Yeah. So, you know, and so then we moved up to Illinois, Chicago, and there was, you know, it was much more cosmopolitan once we got up there.
And, of course, then you were still part of scouting. How old were you when you left Alabama?
I was right at 11.
Right at
12 years old, yeah. And then we were in Illinois for 2 years, and then we went to Lansing.
Okay.
And then in high school, I met my wife, my bride. We ended up becoming married. We've been married 45 years now, and with our 7 children and 32 and 33rd grandchild are on the way.
So. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's a wonderful testament. Praise be to God. I know your grandson went into scouting. Any of your sons go into scouting?
All of my sons were in scouting.
Okay.
One a little less than others. But,
okay, of course.
But they got good life skills in scouting.
Yeah. And you said your daughters were in Girl Scouts?
All my daughters were in Girl Scouts. Okay.
And they got good life lessons out of that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's still, it was a wonderful institution for the girls. You know, in a sense, they're going through their own problems right now.
Yeah.
And I guess the best we can do is we pray for them.
And even at the world level, the girls are somewhat different, because at the Girl Scout level, at the world level, reproductive freedoms and issues are something that they strive for.
Yeah.
And that is one of the reasons why in the Girl Scouts here in the United States, if you're a Catholic Girl Scout, and this is little known, and it's the new rules that's coming out of the bishops, USCCB, there's a world emblem that you wear for Girl Scouts, and they've asked that if you're going to be in the Girl Scouts and you're going to be a Catholic in the Girl Scouts, you do not wear that emblem, because it represents some things that the Catholic Church cannot.
Will the Girl Scouts go along with that?
Well, I don't know how. I don't think there'd be an issue if you weren't wearing your pin or whatever the patch is that you have on there.
But would they be pressured?
I don't think because that's where that memorandum of understanding would come.
Okay.
With a bishop that would sit down with a local council and say, we have been told that they do not want our girls wearing that patch.
Okay. And Scott, this is an important discussion, because any parents here who are really thinking of letting their children join scouting, I mean, they need to know that the Catholic scouts are really adamant about following church teachings. And you uphold the teachings and the norms of the church, and you adhere to those.
Absolutely. And we look at it as a youth ministry. And we are part of the Grand Rapids Diocese Youth Ministry Organization.
Yes.
I report to Mark Mann.
Oh, do you? Okay.
So
over there at the diocese.
At the diocese.
Yep, wonderful, wonderful. As you're still going through this, you've got plans on traveling to Rome in August.
August.
Any other travel plans?
In December, there'll be a follow-up meeting, and that'll be at the National Camp for the French. It's called Jamville.
Okay.
And that'll be a 3 or 4 day meeting. And then next Holy Week, there will be a gathering, and this will be promoting peace in the Holy Land.
Okay.
And there'll be groups of scouts planned to be on either side of the Jordan, because some are not welcome in certain places.
Yeah.
And they'll be together in spirit through Easter, and then eventually end up in Amman for a special meeting.
In Jordan. Okay.
And there are a lot of Catholic scouts in Jordan. So the King of Jordan encourages scouting.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. You know, Scott, and I want people to understand something, too, and I think this is very profound. You know, people are probably listening thinking, well, you know, this has all got to be pretty expensive for the scouts to put out that kind of money to have you traveling all over the place like this. Who pays for that?
Well, now you're going to make me make sure my wife doesn't hear this conversation. Because all my travel is donated.
Yeah.
Fortunately, for the trip, this trip in August, I had enough frequent flyer miles to where I told her this trip cost $68 to fly. But that will be the only time I'll be able to do that. But if it's off season time kind of thing, then I look at that as part of my tithing donation.
Yeah, but that's important. People listening know that because you really are. This is your ministry. This really becomes a ministry for you because you are serving the youth in a profound way, and I thank you for that. That's an awesome ministry to undertake, and you meet so many. I'm sure you've met beautiful people all around the world.
Yeah, everybody that I've met in scouting.
Yeah, it,
from the littlest 8-year-old African to the Italian Cub Scout age kids to going into the World Jamboree in Sweden, and that's a nice story I like to tell.
Tell us.
In 2011, I went to my first World Jamboree, and I got there before the youth got there, and was helping set up the Faith and Belief Zone.
Okay.
And we were building the tent camp that we had. And then the youth started showing up, and they'd show up from Saudi Arabia, they'd show up from France, they'd show up. All of these different contingents would come, and they'd set their own camps up. And each camp was different. Some actually brought wood from their home countries, sure. And they built cabins, and they slept in the cabins.
Oh, my goodness.
And some came in tents, and they had 4 different areas where they could shop for the food. They had to prepare all their own meals. Well, before the 35,000 young people were done with camp, you knew who they were when they came because they had their uniforms on and in their camps. Then they started inviting each other around to eat meals with each other and do events together.
Fellowship together.
Go camping. And by the time the World Jamboree was over, it was hard to tell who was from what country.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And the way I looked at that is if adults could learn from that peaceful situation.
Exactly.
The world would be where we want the world to be.
And I'm willing to bet you when they left, those sites were clean.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. They you leave it better than you found it.
Yeah.
That's our rule.
That would be a scout motto.
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful. I mean, just think about that. 35,000 kids and they leave it better than they found it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't say that for a lot of different events.
No. And this last summer, the National Jamboree took place in West Virginia for the first time. And the National Catholic Committee on Scouting had a booth set up at the Faith and Belief Zone. And we taught people how to make rosaries and pray the rosary. So the young people, 14 to 18, they had all kinds of activities that they could be doing.
Yeah.
We had over 1,000 people come through and learn how to make the rosary and pray the rosary.
How wonderful.
And some of them were not Catholic. Some of them were the Mormons that were camped out next to us.
Sure.
And probably the most memorable one was the Navy chaplain, who was Episcopalian priest. But he stopped in. He wanted to learn the rosary, how to make it, and to have one with him because he was going to go back on a ship, and he was going to be a chaplain to all those sailors on that ship, some Catholic and some all religions. And we just had the best conversation, and he got so much out of that. And he, when he left, he knew all about the rosary.
Isn't that wonderful?
So, and when we were talking in the planning stages, we're going to do rosaries, and then you're going to have a 14-year-old come and sit for an hour.
I'll bet they loved it.
Oh, they did. They were absolutely, and they'd come in groups.
Yeah.
And we didn't have enough. Actually, didn't have enough space for the number of young people that came.
Wow. So. Now, does your wife accompany on a lot of these trips?
She has in the past to certain places.
Okay.
She's not too interested in going to Equatorial Africa.
Yeah.
And I'm not too interested in asking her to come to a trip like that because it's
certain places,
difficult.
Certain places you'd rather be on your own so you don't have to be looking over.
Yeah. And the transportation is not good and the what you eat is not
exactly.
You're not really sure what you're eating.
Yeah, you know, I've been in countries, and I was traveling for business. I was in a couple of times, Hong Kong and Taiwan, and there was days I didn't know what I was eating over there.
Yeah,
and I would imagine the same thing over in Africa, in all those areas too, because you're not indoctrinated to the food. But you're hungry.
Yeah, you're hungry.
And so you eat what's presented to you.
Yeah. And as long as the, you know, I mean they're generally with Catholic priests, and he'll point at things that, you know.
You might want to steer away from.
If he's not going to eat it, I'm not going to eat it.
Exactly. So here we're getting to the end of our time, Scott. But, you know, I want to throw a shout out, first of all, for the Scouts. But I want you to put in is best words you can, encourage young men about scouting. What would you tell them?
Well, I first shout out to the parents of an eight-year-old, and get involved with your youngster in a scout program.
Yeah.
Then if you're 11, 12 listening to this, the program is for you. You want to learn adventure, you want to kayak down a whitewater river, you want to ride a zip line, or do you just want to be involved and learn how a business runs?
Yeah.
All of those skills are there available in scouting. Learn computer programming, you can do those things. So it offers a wide range. And if you're a Catholic scout, there's a lot of great Catholic programs. We have the Footsteps of the American Saints series. We have the Pray the Rosary series of patches and awards. And then we have the religious emblems for scouts. And there's even an international awareness award, which is something at the international level that I'm very happy to promote. And Deacon Leo Ferguson has done several seminars in the Grand Rapids area, bringing priests and different religious who have lived in other countries together for the scouts to come to get to know and to understand the cultures in those other countries.
Exactly.
And those are some of the most powerful meetings I've been to in the Grand Rapids area in the last couple, 3 years.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I would think another natural outpouring of this, and probably never intentional, but the fathers of the scouts probably get a lot out of it. They didn't realize that they would.
Absolutely. The dads are there. And the hardest thing is when you're a dad and you're watching your 11-year-old try to set up a tent is to step back and let them do the work.
Exactly.
And then the dads get to know each other very well. And sometimes the mom's with them too. And one of the rules in scouting is if you're a married couple and you're on a scout outing, a camp out, you're not allowed to share your tents together. You know, because that's just not something that a man and a man have to be in a tent, and a woman and a woman have to.
That's wonderful.
So
that's wonderful. But I can just see the natural outpouring of this is men who might say, "Okay, I'll go this for my son."
Yeah.
But I don't expect to get anything out of it.
Oh.
Probably start to glean a whole lot of information and really start to have a sense of what scouting is about.
Absolutely. And if they were a scout, especially if they were an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
They owe it to their sons to get involved.
Exactly.
They owe it to scouting to get involved because a lot of people before them made it possible for them to earn those awards.
Yeah.
And they can bring those skills back.
Yeah.
And they can help those young people of today. And I think today they need it more than they ever did.
I think you hit the nail right on the head, Scott, because our children need to, particularly our sons, need to learn that discipline in their life. They need to learn that discipline and the courage to do the right. And I think scouting really leads them in that right direction because the pledge what you said, all the attributes of a scout are really what we're looking for in leaders today in men. And I want to thank you for being here today because, you know, you've kind of opened up the world of scouting for all of us, not only just the Boy Scouts of America, which, like I said, I was a little naivete in thinking that, but the Boy Scouts around the world.
Right.
And we'll pray for you on your trip to when you're coming up to Italy.
Please do that.
Which will be in August. And we pray it's very productive and fruitful for you and that hearts would be touched and that as people listen to our program today, they would encourage their sons or daughters to really look at scouting in a different way and really come to an understanding that it's character building. So thank you, Scott, for being here. It's been a pleasure having you.
You're very welcome, and I'd like to finish by saying, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be the children of God. And the Boy Scout motto is be prepared, and we say in Grand Rapids, be prepared for the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale on Holy Family Radio. God bless.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thorndale on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.